It is Friday, April 26, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today, although it looks a little bit different today because I am your host, Trevor Plouffe. That is my co-host, Stephen Brault, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. We talked about it before the show, man. We just keep getting better looking without Chris Rose here. I do want to shout him out, though. He's a hardworking guy. I watched him on the NFL draft yesterday on NFL Network. He does an awesome job, and he did, Steve, from yesterday to when we did our show in the morning to when he got to NFL Network. He went down in age like 10 years. He colored the beard up, and now he looks like a young man again. Anyways, thank you for having us. Newlywed, doing pre and post for the Pirates now. You're succeeding in life after baseball. I love to see it. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Got a puppy, you know, moving forward in life. It's great. Got a San Francisco road game tonight. So that starts at 10:15 on the East Coast. So pregame show starts at 9 o'clock. So that'll be a weird thing to get used to. But also tonight doing it on my own for the first time, just me and a host, no second analyst. So, you know, getting a new feel. I'm really excited.
I love that, man. You're crushing it. You've always had the personality to do it. And now you got your foot in the door. There's no looking back.
No looking back, man. Who knows? I have no idea where we're going to go forward. You know, I just want to stay in baseball, and I love hearing myself talk like I know you do. So it's like, it's a perfect mix, you know?
I've gotten to the point now I hate hearing myself talk. So maybe you'll get there one day. I talk way too much. But speaking of, let's get to the show. First, we always start off with the tip of the cap. This one's going to Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He goes 6 scoreless in his best outing yet as a Dodgers. The Dodgers sweep the Nats. During that start, he also made this ridiculous catch. Eddie Rosario line drive back at him. The reflexes of Yamamoto. My question to you is this, Steven. You've been a pitcher for a long time. You ever had anything happen like this to you?
Oh yeah, had a few. Actually got a top 10 on ESPN when Bryce Harper line drive back at me. But that one wasn't hit very hard. It just looked worse than it was. But when I was in Double A, Mikey Yastrzemski crushed me, man. He hit a line drive right back at me, hit the inside of my thigh, and I got the worst giant bruise, but you know, still got the out. So, you know, we'll take it. Like take that. The out whenever like you can that. Get it.
Baseball bruises are different. You know, it's always funny. You get nailed with a ball, and maybe like for the first couple of days, you're like, oh, I guess it didn't hit me that hard, because they don't show up necessarily right away. And then that third day and then the weeks after, they turn green and blue and purple, look a little bit of orange in there. It's pretty disgusting. I imagine that's what you had going on down there.
Yeah, dude, it was like over the next 3 months, this massive bruise just slowly seeped down my leg and went a day. It was rainbow of colors throughout the whole time. And eventually like my whole foot was like yellow. It was so disgusting. I thought I had a problem.
You're like tatted up. So like, did it go with the tattoos a little bit?
Yeah, totally.
No,
we'll go with
not
that.
Not at all.
Yeah,
what am I talking about? All right, with that segue, professional segue by me, let's get into the show. And because I'm hosting today, let's start with my guy, PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, with the go-ahead two-run homer as the Cubs finish off a sweep of the Houston Astros. My goodness, Astros. The Cubs never trailed in the first two games, and they got to Houston's bullpen late in Game 3. Houston is now 7-19, atop only the 3-22 White Sox in the AL. My question is this. Is it time to give up on the Astros' playoff chances? And if not, Steve, give baseball fans a reason to believe.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with this. Their offense is actually not doing that bad, besides Jose Abreu, which everybody knows about. But also, I feel like people aren't talking enough about Bregman. He hasn't hit a home run yet. His OPS is in the 500s. Like, that's not good. But they're 6th in batting average in Major League Baseball. They have the 3rd most hits in Major League Baseball. Here's a funny little stat for you. Jose Altuve is hitting, you know, like 340 or something like that. He's got a ton of hits. He's hitting 063 with runners in scoring position. So, and they're leaving a ton of guys on base, which has to be the case if they're, you know, getting a lot of hits but not scoring a lot of runs. So they have Kyle Tucker's been hitting well with runners in scoring position, but other than that, man, it's bad. But I mean, the real problem, you know, this is the pitching. The pitching is a problem. You can't go through Major League Baseball with the 28th best ERA and assume that that's going to work for you, especially when it's their relief corps in Jose or in Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly and Josh Hader are supposed to be like the best in the AL. And all three of them, especially Pressly and Hader, are like mightily struggling. And then they just lost Christian Javier, who's one of the few pitchers that's doing well for them right now. it's a tough spot to be in.
So playoffs or no playoffs? You got to answer the question. So this is what Chris Rose would do to me.
Yeah. Okay. At this point, I'm still going to say playoffs. I have a hard time believing that this team is going to stay down the way that they have been this year. We've seen them go on crazy streaks before. You never really see, you know, this bad of a streak. But at the same time, like if you look at this lineup, you got Yordan Alvarez, who's doing good, but not Yordan Alvarez. You got Bregman, who has not been hitting at all. Like, I mean, is it because it's his last year and he didn't get signed to an extension? Is that on his mind? Jose Altuve's hitting well. That's great. But, dude, the pitching's got to figure it out. Verlander coming back, that's helped. They've already had two good starts from him. And I assume he's just going to be Verlander. But I feel like him coming back will help because now – it's like you have to live up to Verlander. You know what I mean? Because Verlander's going to be like, I'm doing well. What the heck are you guys doing? And, you know, I'm 42 and just got another TJ and I'm doing this. You know what I mean? So I think that might help. So I'm still going to say yes. That division's not doing all that great. Nobody's running away with it. So, I mean, yeah, of course. They're the Astros, dude. Last year they ended up winning the division, even though they had no business doing it. You know, it's just combination of luck and skill and not being in the best division. I still like their chances.
I believe they're 6.5 games out right now. You're right. No one's run away with the division just yet. With the start they've had, though, only two teams that have started a similar fashion have ended the season over 500. None have made the postseason. I think you and I are kind of the same. We're all kind of scared of picking against the Astros. We've seen them in the ALCS 7 straight times. You mentioned what the offense has done. And Yordan has been bad over the last 2 weeks. And as he's been bad, the team has been bad as well. The offense, I believe, is going to be there. You're right. Bregman's going to pick it up. They already have a core there. They can really swing the bat. And the offensive numbers have been fine. We're getting Framber Valdez back this weekend. I believe he's pitching in that Mexico City series. JV's back. Ronel Blanco's been a huge find for them. The bullpen can't be this bad year long. So as much as I want to dismiss them because, you know, past references have said this is not going to happen, I just can't quit this team either. We have the expanded playoffs. It wouldn't shock me, Steve, as they've gotten healthy, you know, when they get some of these pitchers back. Javier comes back. I know that McCullers is later on in the year. Urquidy's going to be later on in the year. But as they get healthy, as some of these performances regress to the mean in a positive fashion, I think we see a little run here. At the very least, I'll say this. At the very least, I'll say this. They're going to be in the hunt for October in September. Now, whether they get there or not, I want to say yes, but I'm not sure. They're going to be in the hunt, though. They're too good. They have too many good players. And I still think they're going to add at the deadline because they still are in their quote-unquote window. Like, they're not just going to give away a season and not try to improve their team at the deadline. They haven't shown that whatsoever. So I guess I'm going to answer my own question by saying they just sneak into the playoffs.
Just think about this. Like, just realistically, just put yourself 3 months from now. Do we really think that the Houston Astros are not going to be involved in the top of that division? Like, it's really hard to see that being the case, even though they're playing really poorly right now. It's just like, just take that same team and just fast forward 3 months. Are they all playing this bad still? I just don't see it. I don't see it.
They need to figure out the back end of the rotation. Hunter Brown hasn't been good. JP France hasn't been good. Nope. They got to figure that stuff out. This is my, not my nightmare scenario, but maybe AL team's nightmare scenario is they sneak in the playoffs. Hey, you're the best team in the AL. What do you get as your prize? Oh, you get to face the Astros.
And yeah, they're all of a sudden the Astros again. Yeah. It's like that sounds terrifying actually. And that's the problem, dude. They, like you said, ALCS 7 years, that doesn't just happen. You know, that's progressively having a good core and they still have that core. So even though they're having a bad start, I still see it working out pretty well.
Okay, so we both believe in the Astros. Speaking of believing, the Royals fans, they're believing out there in KC. They take 3 of 4 from Toronto in a very, very tightly contested series. The Jays came in winners of 6 of 8, but 3 one-run losses brings their record to 13-13. Kansas City now is sitting at 16-10. They're 2.5 games back at Cleveland. My question is, if you're a fan, and this is kind of a weird question, so I gotta explain it. If you're a fan of baseball, but you don't have a team, And just for this year, you're like, I need to root for a team that's going to give me positive vibes, is going to win, get into the playoffs. And you had to pick between the Royals, the upstart Royals, with their young, exciting players, plus old man Sal, or the more established, like kind of haven't done what they're supposed to do, Blue Jays. Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Royals, and I'll tell you why. For me, it's I like the exciting aspect more than I like the hope that the players who are supposed to do well aspect, right? It's the same reason why, even though I think the Astros are still going to make the playoffs, they're not a team that I'm really going to I really watch all that often. I'd rather watch the Royals because to me, it's exciting to have a team that threw a bunch of guys together that we aren't really sure how it was going to work out for them. And it's working out really well. Their starting pitching has been nails. Their bullpen's been good. And their worst bullpen pitcher has been Will Smith, who, you know, they signed to be like their guy, and he's been the worst part of it. And the rest of the guys, the young guys, have done really well. The only problem I have with the Royals is that their lineup consists of three guys who are really good at playing well. Bobby Witt Jr., who is undoubtedly for me top five most exciting players in baseball. Salvador Perez, who's, you know, an older guy but just hits bombs now, has an OPS over 1,000 to start the season. And then Vinny Pascantino, who's a guy who's underperformed what he's supposed to be, but he looks like he's stepping it up this year. One of my favorite stats, he's got 16 walks to only 10 strikeouts. That's just cool. That's very old-fashioned baseball. Like, guy doesn't strike out and he walks a lot. That's a good combo. The problem that I'm scared of is that if one of those guys gets hurt at, like, and it's going to be for a while, that lineup gets so much worse so fast because nobody else on their offense has an OPS over 700, not one. So those three guys are carrying their offense right now, and they're going to need to continue to carry the offense. Now, the question is, if they're still in that hunt when the trade deadline comes around, do they go get a fourth? And if they do, then all of a sudden, to me, that's looking pretty good. Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha were amazing signs. Brady Singer's doing great. You know, Cole Reagans is awesome. He's so much fun to watch. They're an exciting team to watch. And I got to be honest, some of my favorite uniforms in Major League Baseball. So, like, that adds to it, too. Kauffman Stadium is awesome. I'm a big fan. So I'm going with the Royals for sure.
Okay, I'm glad you picked them. I love an underdog story. I also love the tailgate before any sporting event, and this is one of the only places you can do that. So, like, I'll come visit you.
Okay,
You when you root for the Royals. But I'm going to go with Blue Jays. I love what the Royals have done. I love that Seth Lugo's having a resurgent year, and Michael Wacha, like, kind of has been sneaky under the radar, like just a really good starting pitcher over the last few years. Love that for them. Love the young core. Love old man Sal. How many RBIs does this guy have already?
Dude, I don't even
25. What are we doing here, Sal? Love that for you. Okay. Love all of that. But I want to see the Blue Jays do it, man. I believe that collection of talent is very, very good, but they haven't been able to give Toronto fans, you know, or Canadians in general, you know, that playoff series win, you know, an ALCS appearance, a World Series appearance. I mean, this team we thought was going to be the belle of the ball in the AL. If at the very least in contention every single year to win the pennant, and it just hasn't been that way. And I made a statement the other day about Vlad Guerrero Jr. and, you know, maybe he's not that MVP guy. Maybe that was a 1 year thing. Obviously he has it in him. He did it. Who am I to say anything about a guy that's won an MVP? I'm nobody, to be honest with you. But he's regressed a little bit. He's kind of showing what I believe is the true player that he is, which is still a very, very good player. But the pitching staff is awesome. I like the bullpen. I like the back end of their bullpen specifically. I like the way they play defense. Like, they have a great – oh, MVP runner-up, I'm so sorry. Dan wants me to make sure I say that. That's my bet on Vlad Guerrero Jr. I think that's a nice catch there, Dan. Way to go. That's why you're the best producer
in the
game.
He's right there, dude.
But listen, I just want the Blue Jays to be who the Blue Jays should be. This is a very fun, exciting team. They went out and spent money in free agency. They went out and made trades. They went out and done all these different things. You know, created an awesome defensive team, outfield defensive team. Dalton Varsho going up there and getting it. I believe he leads all the big leagues in outs above average right now. Like, they're just so much fun to watch, but they haven't won enough. And so if I'm picking just one year to root somebody on, I'm rooting for the Blue Jays. I want to see this team do well. I want to see this team get in the dance and make some noise. They gave the Twins their first playoff win in 50 freaking years, man. Like, this team is better than that. And if I had to pick a team for 1 year, I'd want to root for them to kind of be who they're supposed to be, I guess.
Well, my question is, do you think they need I've always felt like they need one more piece, because like you said, these guys like, you know, Bo Bichette and Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Kevin Biggio, these guys have like the names, you know what I mean? And the names make it seem like they should be better than they are. Because we remember their dads, and like, they're really good Major League Baseball players. I'm not saying they're not, but none of them has stepped up like the way that Bobby Witt Jr. has, right? There's like an actual legitimate, what you're looking at is like a star. And I always felt like when I actually had a whole hit on ESPN before the season started about how I thought that the Blue Jays would benefit so much more than anybody else and would help Major League Baseball just as much if Ohtani went to the Blue Jays as if he went to the Dodgers, because that big star power would bring so much to Toronto in general, as far as, you know, national news coverage and everything, of course, but also just like, that is what that team needs, in my opinion, is just that one more big time piece. And they've shown that they're willing to pay to get that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's still a really fun team to watch. I do put them on quite a bit, but if I'm following the team this year and like really rooting for them, yeah, for me, it's the Royals.
All right. We go from a sweep to a 3 out of 4, and now to a split 4-gamer. The Phillies and the Reds, they played an unaesthetically pleasing series. I don't like red on red, just like I didn't like blue on blue for that one. They both win 2 games. Bryce Harper came back from the paternity list. He backed a great start by Zach Wheeler with a 2-run homer in the top of the third of yesterday's game. It was his first game back from paternity leave. I just said that. Way to go. Way to read the prompter, buddy. He credited dad strength after the game. Meanwhile, a young Ellie De La Cruz is off to a scorching hot start for Cincinnati. So between Daddy Bryce, I love calling him Daddy Bryce, and yeah, Baby Cruz, who's going to have the better year between the two of them?
So if we're talking, I'll hit the question immediately. If we're talking compiled stats at the end of the season, they both stay healthy from now
I'm gonna
on.
I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
We'll just go Baseball Reference WAR. Just go
Baseball
WAR.
Reference WAR.
All encompassing.
Is going to be Ellie De La Cruz. And it's actually going to, I think, end up being closer than I would think it is, because Bryce Harper's actually going to get himself some WAR because of his defense, which has not really been the case in the past, but he's playing incredible first base. So that's going to help him out. I think unless Ellie has some horrible streak, which could happen because his swing and miss is still high, but his chase is not nearly as high as it's been in the past. His hard hit, percentage, his slugging percentage, expected slugging percentage. He's got 15 stolen bases already. He leads Major League Baseball. He's got 7 homers. Like, the guy is crushing the ball, and he's walking finally. So in my opinion, I think if you're just going straight WAR, Ellie De La Cruz is going to have a better season. And I think this might be something that we see as it to continue. He's an incredible player, and he's so much fun to watch, dude. He does the craziest stuff. Hit that inside the park home run earlier this season. That was just a joke. You know, like, he's the fastest sprinter in Major League Baseball as well. So like, there is a lot to like about Ellie De La Cruz, but I mean, Bryce Harper's still my guy. Like, when we get to the playoffs, you know, let's say the Reds and the Phillies are in the playoffs, I still want Bryce Harper over Ellie De La Cruz in my playoff lineup. That's just because I think he is the ultimate gamer, the ultimate Major League Baseball, like, franchise player. He's my guy, and I've always been a huge fan of Bryce Harper. I think he's sailed over expectations, even though as high as they were, and people still debate as to whether he's been good or not, good enough in his Major League career, and I think that's a joke. But I just love watching Bryce Harper. But if we're going WAR, I think this year Ellie's going to take it.
I too also love me some Bryce Harper, but I think this is going to come off as a hot take from you and I, but I don't really think it is. I think Ellie is going to end up with a higher Baseball Reference WAR. I think he might hit more homers than Bryce Harper as well. Yeah. And this is not a knock on Bryce. We know what kind of player he is. I absolutely love watching Bryce Harper play the game, but Ellie can just impact the game on so many different levels. I don't think he's the best defender at shortstop. I think he'll grow into that a little bit, or he doesn't need to grow anymore. Shoot. But he'll figure that position out a little bit more as he gets a little bit more dirt on his spikes. But he's got the range, he's got the arm. He just got to tone it down a little bit, get his footwork a little bit better. But he's in a steal bases. He hits for power. There are just so many things that he can do to impact the game. It wouldn't shock me. Like, Bryce is kind of like settled in at like a 4-win player or something like that. He'll have the odd year where he had the 9 war year. He had a 6.5 not too long ago. I think he's going to settle in right around 4 or 5. I think the sky's the limit for Ellie as far as compiling war. I think we might see a 7 or 8 out of this guy. And if that's the case, he's going to beat Harper in that stat. And I truly believe, I think he might beat him in homers this year too. This is an easy 30-30 year for this guy.
He's already at 15-7, dude. Like, yeah, he's already like halfway there on the steals. Who knows how many steals he's going to get?
It might be a 30-60 season, something ridiculous like that. And if that happens, then he's going to run away with this. Again, no slight on Harper. It's more like, at least here, he's arrived, and I think it's beautiful for baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's weird with Ellie and the Harper combination is they're just completely different players. But I also think that, you know, over time, it'll depend on if Ellie is able to continue this, you know, and keep this swing and miss going down, because, like I said, it's still really high. But I will say, I think he'll benefit from moving out of the shortstop position. I think eventually Ellie gets outfield. You put him in the outfield. Talk about outfield assists. He's super fast. I think he'll be able to read balls in the outfield early, quickly. You know, like, I'm seeing a genuine Tatis comparison as soon as you move Ellie to the outfield, because I see no reason why he wouldn't be incredible out there. And then it's going to help his war even more, because, like you said, his only real bang right now is his defense. So, like, but he's got the arm strength. He throws harder than anybody. So, yeah, I think Ellie for sure this season. I am glad that we agree on that. But once, yeah, no slide on Harper. That dude's my guy. He's still in my lineup, preferably in the playoffs than Ellie, just because I trust him.
Okay. Hey, Seattle fans, what's up? We've had our battles in the past, but I think right now we're in a good place. And you know what's a good place, Steve? First place.
Yeah.
And the Mariners take 2 of 3 from the Rangers with a gritty performance by Luis Castillo, some solid defense, and a bullpen that came up big. They are now ahead of the Rangers in the AL West. Seattle's now 10-5 when hitting a homer. They're 10-4 when scoring at least 4 runs. There's more stats just like that about them being a competent offense. They win a lot of games. So my question to you is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as Seattle just having a slightly above average offense for the Mariners to make the playoffs and possibly win the AL West?
Make the playoffs? Yes, it's that simple. Win in the playoffs? No. I think that it's really important to realize here that, yes, the Mariners are pitching out of their minds right now, but it's a sustainable type of pitching. I'm gonna read you some numbers here. These are their starters. Castillo's got 42 strikeouts to 7 walks. Logan Gilbert's got 35-8. Bryce Miller's 29-11, which is the worst one by far. George Kirby's 26-3, and Emerson Hancock is 15-3. Like, they have the lowest WHIP in baseball, I think. It's just 1.08 as a staff. That's silly. Like, that's when you're keeping people off base, you can even afford to give up some homers, and it's fine because solo homers don't kill you. But if the pitching staff continues doing that, then absolutely mediocre offense will do it. The funny thing is, their offense is mediocre right now because it's severely underperforming. You know, you got Julio Rodriguez is almost, you know, 200 points below his career OPS right now. That's going to change. He's not going to stay down at 650. That's just not going to happen. Polanco's under 600. Crawford's under 600. Garver's under 500. Like, those are guys who have careers that show that their average OPS, not saying their career best, is significantly better than what they are doing right now. So I think there's no question that this team is going to get better as the season goes on. There's going to be times when the pitching doesn't do this well, and so the hitting is going to need to step up in those times in order to get to a point where you're talking about winning that division. Because once the Astros start playing well, which we both think they will, then you get the Rangers, the Astros, and the Mariners, I think, are going to do exactly what they did last year, which is just near the end of the season, all be right in on this. And it'll be interesting to see who ends up taking it. But Mariners getting to the playoffs, they could get to the playoffs based on their pitching and their mediocre offense right now, but the offense is going to get better. So does the pitching stay where it is? Because if it does, then I see them winning the division and then maybe, you know, making a run in the playoffs. But I mean, yeah, absolutely, dude. Pitching wins games. I still believe that. That still matters. And, you know, they have the best pitching in baseball right now. It's the staff I would take.
Here's some more statistics that I was talking about. I mentioned the 10-4 when scoring at least four runs. They're 12-0 when leading after the sixth inning. They're 11-3 when scoring first. Okay, but here's the thing.
Those are good combos. That's a good combo.
I want to say yes, that you just need to be a competent offense. But the thing is, we saw it last year, Steve. The same thing went down, okay? Fourth in starting pitcher ERA, fourth in relief pitcher ERA, first in WHIP for the starting pitchers, second in baseball and Ks per nine for the relievers. So they did it last year. The pitching staff showed up last year. Okay, we know that. The offense, 15th in OBP, so dead middle. But they were 12th in runs, 11th in homer. So I would consider that slightly above average, and they did not make the postseason. So I think they got to do a little bit better. They talked all offseason about, hey, we're changing our philosophy. We want to cut down on strikeouts. We want to put the ball in play more. That has not been the case so far for them. So I think they're going to have to do a little bit better. I think Julio Rodriguez, like you mentioned, he hit his first homer a couple days ago. Like he's got to be that guy. They bring in Mitch Garver. They bring in Mitch Haniger. Those guys have to go. You mentioned the guys. Cal Raleigh kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I think he's one of the better offensive catchers in all of baseball. Shout out to Big Dumper. I want to say yes. Like you just have to be a competent offense, and the statistics this year show it. But they did it last year, and it didn't work for them. Maybe it's as simple as, hey, the Astros are out now, and that's going to be their way into the postseason. But I think this team has too much talent. I always say this: they're like the West Coast Blue Jays to me. I keep expecting them to go off and make a deep run in the playoffs, and it just doesn't happen. So I don't know if that's the case. I think they might have to do something even more than that. I think all three need to start lining up together. Like the offense can't just be an average offense. Like let's go out there, be dynamic on the base pass. You were 13th in stolen bases last year. Let's get that going a little bit more. Let's steal more bases. You're already going to hit some homers. They've been able to do that. But I think they're going to have to be better than slightly above average. So if I'm saying this right now, if I'm answering my own question, if they're just average, they're not going to make the playoffs. They got to be better than that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is actually amazing. I just realized this. We've done like a whole episode without even mentioning the AL East, but I'm going to now, because if we're talking about getting a wild card spot, right, it's going to be hard to get a wild card spot this year because the Yankees are back to being the Yankees. So when the Yankees are really good again, now you got to deal with the Yankees and the Orioles and the Blue Jays. The Red Sox probably not going to be there. You know, the Rays are the Rays. So what do we expect from them? They're right at 500 right now, and they've been playing like crap. So like, are they going to all of a sudden start doing Rays things again and get to that point where they're right at the top of the league? Because if they are, now we're also dealing with the AL Central having some real talent in the Guardians and the Royals. And, you know, maybe the Twins start stepping it up. There could be opportunities for these other teams. So if there might not be as, you know, as many readily available wildcard spots in the AL this year, and they're going to have to like actually start really performing to get there. So in that case, I understand. I agree with you that they're going to have to hit, but I think, you know, if everything kind of stays the way it is right now, I see the Mariners getting in because their pitching is that much better than pretty much everybody else's. And to me, that's good enough. I don't think you'll win in the playoffs, because you're going to have to go up against the Yankees lineup for 6 days, and good luck with that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. We'll see. The Orioles though, like, you know, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're gonna have to win the division. I agree with that. We'll go through this one quickly. We always like to have a little fun with the last question of the day. So I mentioned earlier, Colorado and Houston in Mexico City this weekend, 2-7-19 teams. So let's just not talk about the baseball. Let's talk more about the culture and the food of Mexico instead. I think it's my favorite cuisine. Obviously, I grew up in Southern California, so it's special to my heart. Give me the place that you've traveled to that has the best food.
So I'll do two for you. First of all, yeah, I grew up in San Diego as well. And I'm just going to tell everybody, if you go to La Mesa, California, look up El Azteca. It'll be the best burrito you've ever had.
LA and San Diego got that rivalry for who has better Mexican food. I think San Diego claims it, but I think you could find just amazing Mexican food in both places.
Yeah, dude, you could absolutely. But we went to Thailand this last year for our honeymoon, my wife and I. Food there was incredible. I will say we both got sick like right at the end of the trip. So, you know, that's something you're probably going to have to deal with. But when it comes down to food, man, I'm so biased. But for me, San Diego, it's hard to beat because in my opinion, sushi's my favorite food. So sushi out in San Diego is better than anywhere else other than actually if you went to Japan. And then when it comes to the Mexican food, just the variety of different foods, that is my heart right there. So for me, it's still San Diego. I'm biased. I know, but it's true.
Okay, I'm going to give you two real quick. I went to Italy and I will eat anywhere in Italy. It's incredible the quality of food that you get when you go there. But I'm going to keep it domestic and in my baseball travels. And I know you've been to this place too. Sneaky. I'm going sneaky on my answer. Rochester, New York. Okay, listen here.
All right. Yeah.
If you ever go there, you find yourself in Rochester, New York. You got dinosaur barbecue. Everybody knows about that. Okay. You got the garbage plates, which is kind of unique to the area. I think that's fun to check out. There's a place called the Brown Hound. It's inside of a museum. It's a great breakfast spot. It's awesome. Go check it out. And then my favorite restaurant I've been to New York and Seattle and LA, all these places. Good Luck in Rochester, New York is my favorite restaurant. Great vibes, good food, good cocktails. Check it out. I wanted to shout them out. And that's my
favorite. I never thought I would say that, like, based on what you said, I think I actually need to get back out to Rochester.
Let's go to Rochester. Road trip,
because,
man.
Yeah, dude. Because I did dinosaur barbecue when I was there because you have to. It's you like, I mean, you have to do it. And it's pretty close to the hotel we stayed at. So we walked over there. But, dude, I can't. I'm impressed that you know that many places. But
I stayed a long time in AAA, but.
I was in Indy in AAA for a long time, and I can name you a ton of places there. But for me, it's Patachou, which is just a breakfast spot, which is incredible. But all right, now I got to get out to Rochester. I guess I don't know how I find myself there. Yeah, there you go.
Do it all. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. I believe Chris will be back. But we'd love to have you. Every time you can fill in, we appreciate it, Steve. I know the fans love it too. So, for myself, for super stud Stephen Brawl and producer Dan, and you know what? We'll throw Chris Rose in there as well. Thank you for stopping by and watching Baseball Today. We'll see you again Monday after the weekend.